Hallelujah.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, a.k.a. The Bishop, and I'm so blessed to welcome you all here to the Common Sense Files with your host, Brother Rick Altman, and yours truly for this Friday, May 12th. 2023. Now, before we begin, I first like to give honor to God. I'd like to give honor to my brother and dear friend, Brother Rick Altman. I would like to give honor to all the Spirit Alive family and friends, to Apostle Zeta Flowers, to Mother Mattie Scott, of course, to all my California family in the house, to Lee and Terry Larson, and to my beautiful sister, Sue. I just want to say good evening, and I'm so glad you're here. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you all here to tonight's Common Sense File. And tonight we will continue our transformational journey through our study of the Ten Commandments, still the best moral code, written by Dennis Prager. And the reason that we thought this book would be so amazing to share is because of the spiritual and the common sense that it possesses. And so far we've covered the commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols, and you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. So we are going to pick up there tonight, because during our program on the 10th, we covered the book's introduction, along with I am the Lord your God, and thou shalt not have any other gods. And the reason that we thought, you know, one of the things that we pointed out is the fact that the entire law of Christ depends on love. And love depends on two precepts, one of which concerns our love for God, and the other concerns loving our neighbors. And the last time we were together, which was on April the 14th, we looked at the commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Hallelujah. And the reason this is so important is just because there's only one God that we should worship. There's only one God that we should reverence. Hallelujah. And so we should never take his name in vain. And so on tonight, we are going to review that third commandment. And then we will move right into the fourth commandment. So at this time, my brothers and sisters, I would like for you to retrieve your Bibles. Get something to write with and write on. And once again, give your undivided attention to our commandant of common sense, Brother Rick Altman, who will now read and review the third commandment. And then we will move into the fourth commandment as recorded in the book written by Brother Prager. Hallelujah. And, of course, this will be followed by more of our Brother Rick's observations and his common sense commentary. So thanks to God. Sit back, put on your thinking caps, and prepare to be enlightened by my brother and my friend, Rick Altman. Amen. Brother Rick, you have our undivided attention.
Thank you, Bishop Shirlene. I would just do a quick review for the new listeners. Once again, you know, we need rules, and we need to abide by these rules if we're going to live in close proximity to one another in harmony and safety. And as I said before, as I described to younger people, life needs its rules just like we need rules of the road for driving. And I asked him to imagine what it would be like without driving laws, painted lines on highways and freeways and speed limits and stop signs and stoplights. We're out there rolling around on the highways in one-ton rocks at the speed of a mile a minute. Big trucks can weigh as much as 30 tons. Imagine the mayhem if nobody followed the rules of the road. We do on occasion see the result of someone violating the driving laws, and it can be brutal. How much safer just to follow the law? Life has its own rules of the road, and the Ten Commandments, which Dennis Prager has aptly subtitled Still the Best Moral Code, gives us direction on how to live our lives to our own best benefit and the benefit of those around us, which we refer to as society and civilization. The Judeo-Christian Ten Commandments is the basis for law in Western civilization, and if we made the teachings of this best moral code to our young people our goal, we can raise generations with a code that will provide certainly a safer and more just society than we would have without it. Now, look at when children start to learn, some people, if they are 3 or 4, you know, they're certainly learning 5, 6, 7 years old. But whatever, in that age, children, when they learn the difference between a lie and the truth, that's when their mind is really ready to learn about the moral code that we hope others live by. And by presenting the Ten Commandments as the code to live by, parents can also introduce spirituality, religion to their children. Now, some have told me that this is backwards, but if it works, if it gets us to the goal, that is what is important. So we'll go back to the third commandment. Do not misuse the God's name. And Dennis, the first title is The Worst Sin That You Can Commit. And he asked, is there such a thing as the worst sin, one sin that is worse than all others? And he understands that people differ, but he says, what is the worst sin? The worst sin is committing evil in God's name. From the third commandment, this is the only one of the commandments that states that God will not forgive a person who violates the commandment. And what does this commandment say? It's most commonly translated as, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless, meaning will not forgive whoever takes his name in vain. He refers to the translation from Hebrew, which originally, it doesn't say do not take, it says do not carry. The Hebrew literally reads, do not carry the name of the Lord thy God in vain. One of the most widely used translations of the Bible, the New International Version, uses the word misuse rather than the word take. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. This is much closer to the original's intent. Now, what does it mean to carry or misuse God's name? It means committing evil in God's name, and that God will not forgive. Why not? Because when an irreligious person commits evil, it doesn't bring God and religion into disrepute. But when religious people commit evil, especially in God's name, they are not only committing evil, they are doing terrible damage in the name of God. And in modern times, there's ample examples of this. Evils committed by people who torture and bomb and cut throats, all in the name of God. It's not coincidental that this is called the new atheism. But people who murder in the name of God not only kill their victims, they kill God too. And that's why the greatest sin is religious evil. That's what the third commandment is there to teach. Don't carry God's name in vain. If you do, God won't forgive you. So that's review of the third, you know, and it couldn't be more clear, you know, do not commit evil in God's name.
Amen.
There you go. So.
Well, now let's move on to that fourth commandment.
All righty. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. And as Dennis puts at the top of the page, don't be a slave. Many people who revere the Ten Commandments don't think that the fourth is particularly important, let alone binding. Once you understand it, however, you will recognize how life-changing, even world-changing, the Sabbath commandment is, and you'll begin to appreciate how relevant it is in your own life. Fourth commandment reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Now, why is this so important? First, perhaps more than any other commandment, it elevates the human being. For nearly all of human history, life consisted of overwhelming work. In effect, humans were beasts of burden. This commandment, and only this commandment, changed all that by insisting that people cease working 1 day out of 7. Second, more than any other commandment, the Sabbath day reminds people that they are meant to be free. as a second version of the commandment, the one summarized by Moses in Deuteronomy, states, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. In other words, remember that slaves cannot have a Sabbath. In light of this, I might, Dennis might add that the biblical view, unless necessary for survival, people who choose to work 7 days a week are essentially slaves. Slaves to work, mm-hmm. or perhaps to money, but slaves nonetheless. A millionaire who works seven days a week is simply a rich slave.
Amen.
Now, while the Bible could not universally abolish slavery, the Sabbath commandment greatly humanized that terrible institution and even helped make slavery impossible. By definition, a slave owner was under no obligation to allow a slave to ever rest, let alone rest one day every week. Yet that is exactly what the Fourth Commandment commanded. Even a slave has fundamental human rights. Therefore, a slave, too, is a human being. Fourth, the Sabbath almost single-handedly creates and strengthens family ties and friendships. Think about it. When a person takes off from work one day every week, that day almost inevitably becomes a day spent with other people, family, friends. It has a similarly positive effect on marriages. Ask anyone married to a workaholic how good it would be for their marriage if the workaholic would not work one day each week, and you can appreciate the power of that Sabbath day. Fifth, the Sabbath commandment granted animals dignity. Even ones animals had to rest one day a week. It is, to the best of our knowledge, the first national law in history on behalf of animals. And its benefits to animals surely went beyond a mandatory day of rest for them. People who felt divinely obligated to give their animals a day of rest were much less likely to treat their animals cruelly any day of the week. Now, all five of these life-changing and society-changing benefits of the Sabbath are available to anyone. You don't have to be a Jew, a Christian, or even a believer in God to derive all these benefits. But the reality is that those who believe the Ten Commandments were given by God are the ones who have kept the Sabbath alive. The God factor plays another role in the Sabbath. Just as faith in God brings people to the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath brings people to the faith of God. And this is why the first version of the Ten Commandments, the version in the book of Exodus, ends with these words. For in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, however you interpret the 6 days, the point is this. Every time you keep the Sabbath, you are affirming that there is a creator, that the world didn't just happen, that life isn't some meaningless coincidence, but that it is infinitely meaningful, and therefore each of us has a unique, significance and purpose. And then Dennis adds, not bad for one day a week. No wonder that the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. No wonder that those who have it in their lives are often happier and richer, with richer family lives, more serenity, a community of friends, and yes, are even healthier. You might want to give it a try, which I think is a good way to end that. So rest on the seventh, on the Sabbath. And, see if that doesn't improve your relationships with people, even with yourself, okay? Because, you know, you're just not at it. And, you know, I've been there. I know a lot of people have been there where you've got a goal, you're striving to achieve that goal, and it doesn't matter how many days you've worked without taking a break. But, you know, for your own health and sanity, you need to take that break. And I think it's an important day, and it certainly is important to us, our relationship with friends and family, which is also helps to improve the relationships in our society and in our civilization. So, like Dennis says, you might want to give it a try.
Write the script.
Did we lose you, Charlene? Everybody
okay,
just hold
hallelujah.
On, please.
Okay. I'm here. Okay, I was just making sure that you were completely finished, my brother, because I wanted you
yes.
to bring whatever you wanted to bring. Okay, amen. All right, well, I praise God. And like Mr. Prager said, this is one of those commandments that you really might want to try, you know, because, and I believe that it is a perfectly placed commandment. Because I believe that if you look at where we are so far, first God tells us, I am the Lord your God. So he is commanding that we adore him with our hearts. And you shall worship me. You shall not have any other gods before me. So he's saying, first you need to adore me with your heart. And then he says, you have to reverence me. That's an act. By not taking his name in vain, and by remembering to keep the Sabbath holy. Now, God decided that he wanted a certain day to be set aside, like my brother said, to direct their minds and their service to the Lord first and foremost, and then to those families and friends and others. Now, I'm going to give you five reasons that God gave this commandment. And I'm going to give you five because if you are a scholar or if you are a theologian or you are just a Bible student or you're just a wonderful disciple, you know that five is God's number for grace. So the first reason that God put this commandment in place was to put aside error. You see, the Holy Spirit saw that in the future, some men would say that the world had always existed. Because it says in the last days, my Lord and my God, that it says in the last days that the world, you know, that there shall be deceitful scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's his promise? Or asking, where is his coming? For since the time that the Father slept, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willfully ignorant of, that the heavens were before, and the earth out of water and through water, created by the word of God. God therefore wished and wanted us to set aside a day to remember the fact that he created everything. And then on the seventh day, he rested. So he said, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. So, you know, just as the Jews kept holy the Sabbath in memory for the first creation. But then when Christ came, but Christ at his coming, it brought a new creation. For by the first creation, an earthly man was created. And by the second, a heavenly man was formed. Listen to what the word of God says. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And this new creature is through grace, which came by the resurrection. That as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And thus, because the resurrection took place on Sunday, we celebrate that day. Even as the Jews observed the Sabbath on account of the first creation. Now, the second reason for this commandment is to instruct us in our faith in the Redeemer. The word of God says, for the flesh of Christ was not corrupted in a sepulcher. And thus it is said, moreover, my flesh also shall rest in hope, nor will thou give the Holy One to see corruption. So, wherefore God wished that the Sabbath should be observed, and just as the sacrifices of the old law signified the death of Christ, so should the quiet of the Sabbath signify the rest of his body in the sepulchre. So, that's the second reason for this commandment. The third reason was to strengthen and foreshadow the fulfillment of the promise of rest. For rest indeed has been promised to us, because the word of God says, and it shall come to pass on that day that when God shall give thee rest from thy labor and from thy vexation and from the hard bondage wherewith thou didst serve before, my people shall set in the beauty of peace and in the tabernacle of confidence and in wealthy rest. I don't know about you, but don't you hope for rest from these things? From the labors of present life, from the struggles of temptation, from the servitude of the old flathead Satan himself? You see, Christ promised this rest to all of us that come to him. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Now, however, the Lord, as we know, he did work six days, and on the seventh he rested, because it is necessary to do a perfect work. Let me show you how I know this from the word of God. It says, behold with your eyes how I have labored a little and found much rest to myself. For the period of eternity exceeds the present time incomparably more than 1,000 years exceeds one day. That's to remember, God's time is not our time. His time isn't like our time. So, you know, he's been at it for a very long time. Fourthly, this commandment was given to increase our love. The word of God declares, for the corruptible body is a load upon the soul, and man always tends downward towards earthly things unless he takes means to raise himself above them. So it is indeed necessary to have a certain time to just sit and think. Because the word of God says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the word of God tells us in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. For these shall enjoy the everlasting life. And then, you know, so we do this to just get in tune. We need to use the Sabbath to excite more love for God, you know, because God says, seven times a day I have given praise to thee. And some, in order to avoid being entirely apart from God, find it necessary, you know, to have a fixed day. Because if they don't do it on a, you know, if they don't get their praise on Sunday, oh, my goodness, you know. But that's not what keeping the Sabbath means. He said, remember the Sabbath. And one of the last reasons that he gave this commandment was in order for us to have an opportunity to exercise the works of kindness to people around us, you know. And like my brother said about what Brother Prager had written in his book, some people are cruel to themselves, and therefore they're cruel to other people. Because, see, they're not worried about loving others. They're worried about their money. They're worried about their come up. They're worried about, you know, their positions and making the cut and being above, you know. But see, what God is saying is we need to remember the Sabbath. We need to sanctify it. We need to make sure that it is holy. Now, the word holy may be taken in two words. Sometimes holy just means it's sanctified or it's made pure. Like the Jesus the Logos says, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. That is, you're made holy. Then at other times, the word holy is said of things consecrated to the worship of and for the purpose of God. Like vestments, holy vessels, holy water. So therefore, there's two ways that we really, if we really want to keep this commandment and celebrate the Sabbath and keep it holy, is first of all, we need to give ourselves over to God. We need to spend time on that Sabbath just in the Word of God, praying according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Looking around and seeing if there's something we can do for somebody else. Now, a lot of people, I'm about to put down here again, I'm going to ask you to sit up and pay attention and put your thinking caps on because I want you to follow me. A lot of people get all bent out of shape because you have to, you know, you have to work on Sunday because, you know, you're thinking, well, the Lord said, you know, neither do you work or, you know, neither do ye any work and sanctify the Sabbath day. And so also it is said in the law, you shall do not do no servile work therein. Now, what that means is that's manual work. You know, now servile, it's a work in a bodily work, whereas free work is done in the mind. For instance, when we exercise our intellect, okay? But let me explain something to you. God understands, he knew where we were going to be before he even said, let us make man. So let me explain. There are times God understands that you might have to work on Sunday. You might work in a hospital. You might work for the church. You know what I'm saying? There are certain things that must be done just in order for worship service to take place. So we need to understand that yes, you know, we are to take a day, but we have to understand that it doesn't necessarily have to be Sunday. Remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy means that's any day that you decide. Today, I'm going to commit this day to just meditating on the Lord. Today, I'm going to dedicate this day to just going out and helping others that may be in need. Today, I'm going to take this day and I'm just going to concentrate on calling family and friends that may be going through, that may need a kind word. So I'm going to, you know, after my worship service, I'm going to go call some people. You know, anytime you do things like that, you're remembering the Sabbath and you're keeping it holy because you are first and foremost, you're loving God and you're loving others. And so, you know, you might not can do that on Sunday. That your Sabbath might be Monday. But you need to take time to rest, just rest in the Lord. We all need to take time to allow ourselves to be restored by the Lord. Because, and you have to understand that restoration only can come through rest. And when I say rest, I don't mean to say, well, I'm just not going to leave my home today. No, when I say rest, I mean turn off that television, get your face out of Facebook, get your tick away from TikTok, and you just spend time sitting and meditating on that word, or sitting and talking to God, or sitting encouraging others, or just feeding somebody that might be homeless. Just any kindness that you can do. And any day that you do that, you are remembering the Sabbath and you are keeping it holy. Because in the final analysis, all we're saying is we're going to give props to he who deserves all the props. We're going to remember how, what he's done. We're going to remember, hallelujah, what he did for the children of Israel. And then we're going to bring that all the way forward until what God is, until we get to what God is doing for us today, in this moment, right now. Because no matter what we're going through, there is always something, something, something to be grateful for. You know, we can walk, if we are Christians, we should not be walking around like the glass is always half full, you know, half empty. We should be seeing that glass as full, because the Lord of God says we lack nothing. And when we take time to just meditate on that, just meditate on all the promises that God has kept to you, you know, those simple promises like, and I shall provide your needs according to my riches and glory. Here's the one I love. Surely grace and mercy. He just has grace and mercy just following us around, just in case we happen to stumble or stub a toe. He has grace and mercy right there on the scene. You know, simple, simple, simple promises. He said, if you delight yourself in me and trust me and commit your ways to me, not only will I provide your every need, I will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. So if God can give you what you ask for, and God can give you what you need, and you bless others as you are being blessed, I would say that's a win-win-win-win-win-win situation. God wins, we win, the people that we bless win. So I want to, what I'm going to do right now is we have, like I said again, we have Spirit Alive family in the house. We have my friends from California in the house. I have all of you sitting in the chat room. And for those of you that are new to Spirit Alive, at this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the floor and let you all, because, you know, we all have something to contribute to a conversation, you know. And we are not so naive here at Spirit Alive that we think the only people that listen to us are people that are saved. Quite the contrary. So it doesn't matter if you're coming from a perspective of Mr. Prager, or you're a stomped down, bona fide, certified Christian, disciple of the Most High God. You have something to contribute. So if you would like to contribute something, kindly press your 1 on your keypad. And that will let me know that you would like to have a word or put your praise on it or tell us a story about our testimony about how you can identify with this commandment. And what I think I'm going to do is we do have Mother Mattie Scott in the house. And I always like to give my elders, hallelujah, that utmost respect. Mother Mattie, you are in the house. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Bishop Cook. God bless you. Good evening to you and Brother Rick and all the Spirit Alive family. God bless you all again. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies of God God bless you, and may you have a wonderful Mother's Day, all the women of God. You know, this is a wonderful, wonderful lesson, the third and fourth commandment, and it's so true. We have to love our Lord and Savior, King Jesus Christ, and we have to love Father God. We have to love our neighbor. And I know sometimes some people are hard to love, but we have to pray on it and pray. When you pray to the Lord, He puts that agape love in your heart. Then you can love the worst person in the world. And for the fourth commandment, that is so true. The Lord created the world, but the seventh day He rests. So we do have to keep the Sabbath day holy. We have to keep it holy. And what was also said, no matter what we go through, we still have to be grateful to the Lord because of all the wonderful things that He has done for us. And I seen on YouTube this man, he had a near-death experience. He had really died. That's what happened. He had died, but the doctors and what have you worked on him, and he came back. But when he went into this near-death experience, he was an atheist. The man was an atheist, and the Lord, it was said that the Lord took this man to hell. He took him to hell, and the man said, this man was interviewing him, and he said seeing Hitler in hell, and he said the smell was so foul, and just all kind of stuff, and people was hollering and screaming and all kind of stuff, and then the Lord showed him, took him to heaven, and the experience, I'll make a long story short, the experience that man had, then when he come back into his body after he was revived, he never did forget the experience. So that man is a changed man. He's not an atheist no more. And so now that
Hallelujah.
Man, he preaches the Lord's word, he do God's work, and in turn he helps other people to help them to come to Jesus. That man went from
Thank
an atheist
you, Lord.
To a true believer in God. And this morning when I woke up, I thanked the Lord for saving that man. The Lord saved
yes.
that man and showed him what he was doing was wrong. And he come up in a very spiritual and religious background. His parents was they were godly people, and he went to church. But for some reason, he became an atheist for whatever reason. But when the Lord got through with him, he accepted the Lord as his personal Lord and Savior. And he's doing well, and he's helping others. So I know that people can change with God's help, you know. And I thank
yeah.
you, Bishop Cook, because you give everybody a chance. And for the people that don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, I hope and pray that this program will help them come to accept King Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, because it's very important. All this here, this earth, planet, everything is going to pass away. But the Lord is eternal and everlasting. His word is everlasting and eternal. And the Lord will never change. You know, it's in his word, his promises. We have to stand on that, and that's eternal and everlasting.
Yes.
So I just thank the Lord every day. And this Sunday is Mother's Day. And this week have been kind of challenging for me because I had a wonderful mother. And I have to say, you have more women that are more godly than men. I love to see men in the church, and I love to see men love the Lord. But it have always been more women in the church than it have been men, even the women in the biblical times. They followed King Jesus. They supported his ministry. They followed him through his ministry, even to the cross. They was crying and weeping, even his burial. They was at the tomb. Mary Magdalene come there looking for King Jesus, and the angels let
Amen.
Her know the Savior has risen. He's not here. And the woman that was a sinner, and she put expensive ointment on King Jesus' feet. Her tears washed his feet. Her tears washed his feet. Her hair dried his feet. And she kissed his feet the whole time he was there. And the men, the Pharisees or Sadducees or whoever he was around, they did not worship him and honor him like that. And this woman was a sinner, but the Lord forgave her right then and there.
Yes,
so,
hallelujah.
Know,
amen.
Yeah, my my mom gone home to glory. Not only I'm wishing happy Mother's Day for the living mothers and the women and godly women of the world, but the mothers that have gone home to glory that believe in the Lord, may they rest in eternal peace with our Heavenly Father. I tell you, the Lord is so good. He's so good. He's a wonderful God. He forgives us.
Yes,
he forgives
is,
us
Mother
over
Matthew.
And over and over and over for our sins. And all we have to do is just pray and ask for forgiveness. So, Bishop Cook, I just love you.
I love you.
I love Spirit Alive family. And we, the Ten Commandments is something we have to go by. But I thank you because it's
Amen.
A wonderful lesson. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you,
Mother Matthew. You're welcome, Mother. Thank you. All right, Zeta. Yes, ma'am.
Bishop Cook, Miss Givens told me to
we
tell
won't
you
forget
she thank
Mother
you
Givens.
So much. No, she said
okay.
Thank you for your prayers, and she love you. She love you, and she's praying for you,
oh,
too.
Thank you, my angel.
Amen.
Tell Mother
she
Givens
we
love her.
She loves
we
you
love
too.
Her. We Praise love you. We love
yeah,
her.
She loves
All
you,
right.
too. She's praying for
Zeta.
You.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And
yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm praying for you also. Praying for your family. God bless.
Yes.
God bless you.
This teaching again was good, and it brought out a lot of things that, you know, we all need to know, and those of us that know need to be reminded of as well. It was really some good teaching in there. I really appreciate Mr. Altman and of course, Apostle Shirley Cook. It was a very good teaching. I like the way it was brought out about the Sabbath because there's a lot of contradictory along that as well as misunderstandings.
Amen.
And I thank God for how it was really brought out. I just wish that there were more even that I know that could have heard it tonight. But nevertheless, it was a good teaching and well understood. I remember when the Lord actually gave me a business, and I knew it came by way of the Lord. In the beginning, I actually worked on some Sundays myself when I first opened up because it was that kind of business that, you know, we were dealing with people that were sick, and I had to send people out to take care of them. And so I did some myself on Sundays and didn't mind it at all because I knew it was God-given, and I know that people need to be taken care of on the Sabbath.
Amen.
So I made arrangements for myself to have another Sabbath day that I chose that
Amen.
Really worked for
That's
me.
Right.
So I
mm-hmm,
and I kept
mm-hmm.
that. And even sometimes it was actually Wednesday night Bible study.
mm-hmm.
So you know, it's up to us to make the way for
That's right.
keeping one day out of the week holy. And you know, keeping it before the Lord and resting before Him. So I did that, and so it's good to hear, even though I know, but it's still good to
Amen.
Hear that's all right, that's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
keeping in mind what the Lord wants us to do, and that's to rest one day out of the week, and whatever day that might be. And we know that for the most part is Sunday, because that's
mm-hmm.
that's how it's been. And of course, churches are open on Sundays, and that's when the Sunday services happen. But I think, you know, people also need to know that they don't need to feel guilty about it if they have to go to work. Nurses, doctors need to do that. We know that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and so life
yes,
still goes on. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good, and I really enjoyed what Mother Mati brought out in
mm-hmm.
her what she shared with us tonight. It was really good, and we need to pay attention, you know, to what the Lord
yes.
is saying to us. Amen.
Oh, that was good. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Apostle Zeta. That was good. I like that. Because, and you just sparked something else, though, too. We have to remember when we're talking about the Sabbath and, you know, and money and folks, you know, I remember there was a time in my life that, you know, I just accepted that you'd have, you know, you think certain jobs you had to work on the weekend. Until one day I decided, wait a minute, hold up, wait. My first job is working for the Lord, not these people. So I was blessed to come to my senses, and the last job I had, I walked in the door not being arrogant, not being anything, you know, but simply stating this, I am a servant leader for the Most High God. I do not work on weekends. Now, thank the God, when I said this now, I fully expected for them to say, well, this is not the position for you. But I did that. And so I got up and I kindly thanked them for hearing me out. And I, you know, I said, well, I really, you know, you seem like a very nice company. And I just, you know, I hope that you really find a really great fit. And Mr. Rose looked at me and said, well, your office is right there. So, see, we can choose to, you know, we can choose. We have to choose to take that time. And sometimes you can do that and other times you cannot. But like Apostle Zeta said, you cannot feel guilty. Because
right.
God is in control of everything. So if he didn't want you working on Sunday, do you think he'd have any problem making that happen?
Amen.
You know, but I'm gonna tell you something else though too. Come in, church folks. Y'all want y'all to come in real close to your telephones because I got a little bone to pick with you. Remember, we said keeping the Sabbath holy also means loving and serving others.
Yes.
Now, the problem that I have with a bunch of my brothers and sisters in Christ is the homeless are still hungry on the Sabbath.
Oh, yes.
Mm. The homeless might still need resources on the Sabbath.
Right.
I believe if we really want to keep the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, what we're going to do is instead of, you know, worrying about our little outfit for our Sunday morning church service, maybe we should spend that time putting together some bags for the homeless as a church.
Amen.
Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some folks need to show up at our church doors one Sunday, and there's a sign on the door that says, gone fishing. We are out here fishing for souls for the Lord.
Amen.
We are out here really trying to remember this Sabbath and keep it holy. Because, see,
amen.
God says, if I love him, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. And if they're hungry on Monday, they're going to be hungry on Sunday and every other day of the week.
Amen.
So we need to, you know, while we remember, we got to look at ourselves and we have to take accountability for ourselves. Are we really teaching God's people to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy?
Jesus.
Are we really doing
yes,
that?
Jesus.
And that means more than showing up to a building on a specific day. That means more than showing up to a building and saying a few words or singing a few songs and hearing a message. It means so much more than that. Remembering means just that, because I don't know about you, but when I think about all the things that God has done for me, he's brought me through cancer. Not once, not
Thank
twice, three
Jesus.
Times. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was hit by a car in a crosswalk. with the light. They told me I'd never walk again, but they didn't talk to my physician, King Jesus. Okay. So, you know, when you start just thinking about the goodness of how God loves you, it should motivate you to want to live by the word of God.
Amen.
And it should, and common sense would tell you that this code, this moral code, it's called a moral code for a reason, because it comes from God.
Yes.
It's what guides our conscience. It's what what dictates the things that we harbor in our hearts. It dictates how we associate and deal, interact with other people.
Amen.
So I just believe that, you know, we need to, when we start, you know, we need to do more than just scratch the surface. When it comes to God's word, we need to go deeper. We have to look at why God gave us this, why he tells us to do this. And then we need to start really looking at the benefit of it all. You know, if we as people of God act like, we worship God on Sunday, and then we going to worship Jesus and Miss Cleo on Monday, and then we going to talk to Jesus, and then we're going to consult our spiritualist on Tuesday. No, no. That's not the way it works, Saint. We either are going to stand for God and his principles, or we're not. We're either going to obey him, or we're not.
Yeah.
You know, and there is, and we have to know that the same way that we want people to walk in honesty with us, to walk in integrity with us, that's the same way we've got to walk with God.
Mm.
You know? That's the exact same way we've got to walk with God. It doesn't matter. Like Brother Altman said, I love that he always uses the analogy of the rules of the road. Well, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is our basic instructions before leaving earth, which means these are the rules of the road for life.
Amen.
Sister
Shirley? Follow these rules. Yes, yes.
Sister Shirley?
Yes, Brother Lee?
One thing to add, for what it's worth, from California and from what Rick had to say tonight, it is, try it, you'll like it.
Amen. Amen. Just try
Amen.
It, you'll like it. Yeah, yeah. I know that's right. Try it, you'll like it.
Yeah.
I know I did. I know I did. Oh, I am, you know, because I am, I'm one of these, you know, I'm one of these young women. Well, I'm not a young woman. Well, I'm young to God.
Yes, you are.
Jesus. I'm one of them young women that, you know, I put a lot of stock in education and higher learning and broader thinking and deeper thinking, you know, so it would have been real easy for me to think I could solve my own problems. But I praise God that I had parents that taught me this moral code when I was a little bitty girl.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I grew up knowing that I didn't have to have all the answers, because I know the one who does have all the answers. I don't have to walk around in fear, because I belong to the only omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God.
Yes.
See, so like Brother Lee said, if you try it, you'll see just how much you like it. Because I don't know anybody that would be upset if the Lord spared your life, or you came and you got that financial blessing you've been waiting on, it seems like forever, or you finally got that house, or you finally got into that school you've been wanting to get into. I don't think nobody would be upset with God about that. Do you?
Not at all.
So, you know, we have to really look at these commandments and go deeper. You know, why? You know, and just think about the time, the where, when, what, and how God had to do things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to give the Ten Commandments because if he, look, while Moses was up in the mountains getting the Ten Commandments, the rest of the people were down in the valley just, you know, making graven images and melting down gold and just losing their rabid minds. And that's the truth of the matter. So do you wonder why he started out saying, I am the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall have no gods before me. You see? And you shall not take my name in vain.
Amen.
You out here, and I, again, come closer, church people. As a matter of fact, I'm calling all pastors, calling all servant leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You, if I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you standing up in your pulpits on Sunday morning and you can look out there and see all of these beautiful elders sitting out there and you know that they on a fixed income and you can still fix your mouth to tell these people that God said that you're supposed to now take up offering number five, that's doing evil. When you tell your flock or you set your flock up to fail, well, the Lord said somebody in here wants to give $1,000. Do you know, saints of God, that there are people that don't have a 1,000 cents will get up and get in that line because they want to be seen? So not only is this pastor not reverencing God or his pulpit, he is not caring for the sheep that God has given them to oversee. You know, you have to stop lying on God. You have to stop. And if we want the people of God to live holy, to adore God, to worship God, to keep his Sabbath holy, then we've got to live it ourselves.
Yes.
Pastor, we should not see you up in the church house on Monday morning and you hooping and hollering and sweating and then just happen to roll by the sports bar and there sits the pastor's car. We know it's your car, Pastor, because you're the only one in this town got Pastor Ron 1 and the bumper sticker Jesus paid for it all. See, you're so cute with your personalized place. We know where your person is, wherever your car is parked. So, you see, I get on to servant leaders because I teach servant leaders, and I need for servant leaders to really get down to telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
the whole truth,
Amen.
And nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Are you gonna be a slave to the things of God, or are you going to be a slave to money or to man? Are you going to worship the thing God and the and His ways, or are you going to live a mediocre life? You know, well, I do right on Sunday. Okay, at least I can do right on Sunday. Okay, well, I tell you what, we don't serve a wishy-washy God. See, because if you need a blessing, He going to bless you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. Okay, God does not take a day off for vacations or His birthday or holidays. Okay, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. We have a young person in the chat room. I mean, if she had them dots working for a while, thanks to God. Okay. Miss Alicia, Brother Rick, you were enjoyed. They like your humor. she says that she's a Christian, but she feels a lot of times disconnected because she sees the Ten Commandments as a bunch of rules, just a bunch of rules. Okay, we get it. That's the way a lot of people that's not really, you know, that might go to church, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ may feel. They feel that Christianity is a bunch of rules and regulations, but in reality, it's not. So, and if you find that there are a bunch of rules and regulations, what I'm going to do, Alicia, is just ask you right now, do you have a relationship with Jesus, or do you attend a church? Okay. Well, this is what I need for you to do. Thank you, God. You know this is a real church, and we do real church things here, so excuse me for just a second. What I need for you to do right now, Alicia, and anybody else that may be listening, in order for these commandments to be relevant to you, you must first be connected to the source, which is Father God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So, Alicia, what I want you to do right now, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And do you believe that God raised him from the dead? She's typing. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what I need for you to do, and all, and anybody else who has not given their life over to Jesus, I'm talking to you too. All we need for you to do is to try him. You're going to love him. But you need to bow your hearts before God, and you need to confess your sin. And you just need to go to God and say, look, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that he raised you from the dead just for me. That's how you make it personal. And then you can ask him to come into your life and to save you and to teach you his ways. Because, and he will do that, because the moment that you accept him, you also you start receiving all these beautiful gifts like salvation and faith and the Holy Spirit, who will be your teacher, who will be your paraclete, who will help you to learn of God and to make these Ten Commandments your moral code. And it won't be out of a sense of obligation. It will be out of a sense of love. Yes. So does anybody else have anything that they would like to add to this conversation? Or Brother Rick, while you were sitting there and you heard us go on, you might have some more commentary that you would like to add or some more observations, and you are free to do so at this time.
Well, I think it's we can finish up with this. Let's look at the benefits point from the benefits point of view. It's a different point of view, slightly selfish. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of selfishness, but let's look at the benefits. Imagine what driving on our streets and highways would be like if everyone, or at least more people, followed the law. Imagine what our civilization, our country, our cities, even our neighborhoods would be like if more people followed the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments, they are important to our individual happiness and success, which means they are equally important to our civilization's success and survival. Now, you played his song before. You know, it's my favorite Michael Jackson song, The Man in the Mirror. And the refrain is, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. And I'll close by saying, and use the best moral code, the Ten Commandments, to make that change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Now, that was good right there. I got Holy Ghost goosebumps on that one. Okay, that was good right there. That was. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. That was good.
Amen.
You might have been. You might be an atheist, but that one hit you up between the eyes right there. That hit me. Okay, there you go. Hallelujah. Now, once again, I do have family out in California. I got my sister Sue in the house, and I got some others. I got Sister Terry in the house. I got Brother Lee in the house. If any of you would like to make a comment at this time, please, now's the time to speak up. Hallelujah, because we are all family here. So come on in the room. Everybody's mics are unmuted. So all you have to do is say, here I am, ready to talk.
Rick. Hey. He hit it right out of the park. Amen, Rick.
Thank you, Lee.
Amen. Amen. I praise God. Mm-hmm. This has indeed been a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Of course, I would like to thank my brother, Rick Altman. He is an excellent teacher, not only of common sense, but I just like the way he thinks, and he uses his brain, and he goes deeper, because we agree what we have this thing between us. I said, yep, not only do I want to know what a person thinks, I want to know why they think it. And I love people that look at life like that, you know, and that's the way I am with the Word of God. Not only do I want to know what you believe about the Word of God, I want to know why. So that way I will be able to assist you or pray for you or be an effective servant leader and truly serve you. Because, you know, the reason we're doing all of this is so that God can get the glory. So my brothers and sisters, you have indeed been listening to the Common Sense Files with our Commandant of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman, and yours truly, Bishop Shalene Cook. I would like to thank Mother Mattie Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Brother Lee Larson, Sister Terry Larson, and of course I want to thank my co-laborer, my sister, mother, friend, Apostle Zeta Flowers. I want to thank all of them for being in here, and we want to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy Friday to come out and hear a word. Hallelujah. And again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there, the mommies-to-be, the grandmothers, the foster mothers, the pet mothers. Hallelujah. Get in where you fit in. I just want you to know we love you. And happy Mother's Day. And to all you servant leaders that are like me that don't actually have any biological kids, I'm wishing you happy Mother's Day, because just think, every time you lead somebody to Christ, every time you introduce somebody into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's like giving birth. It's their birthday anyway. So on behalf of myself, Brother Rick Altman, and all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you have a beautiful and blessed Mother's Day weekend. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Common Sense Files and the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. My beautiful family, you were phenomenal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, Brother Lee and Sister Terry. Apostle, you know I adore you. Hallelujah. I love all of you. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening. And Mother Mattie, I adore you. God bless you all. God bless you.
Thank you. Adore you too.
All right. God bless. Good night.
Love you. Love you all.
Good night.
Love
you. Good night.
Love you.
And God bless the young lady.